November knows deals, and no better month to get those deals than at Rorick Honda. From fantastic rates to fair financing, Rorick always has the customer in mind, especially during the beginning of holiday shopping.
Plus, $2,200 in yearly savings when you count on the Rorick Advantage with every car purchase, new or used. Buying a Honda is a must. Visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs. And now we start this week's You Jagoff podcast from probably one of my best passions ever.
Oh, gosh. I can't wait to tell Kevin.
Golfing at Top Golf in Bridgeport.
Nope.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway. Jagoff!
Or someone scares the... out of you.
Yeah, jagoff.
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
This is Ken Wild Bill.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
I am Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the You Jagoff Podcast.
This is the You Jagoff Podcast. Again, if you're listening to the podcast for the very first time, we ask that you, A, subscribe to it, either on the radio.com app, which is really the place to be, or go to wherever you listen to your podcast.
Your favorite places, yeah. And listen, we have to give a shout-out to those who house us, Entercom, on the radio.com app, because we've been doing the Daily Dose of Happiness with Kelly on 100.7 Star for about 6 months now since the pandemic started. And you can listen to us at 4:55 every day on your drive home when we talk about something good happening in Pittsburgh. But starting this past week, we are on Elista as well, and we're going to be on Fridays to tell you who is the Jagoff of the Week. So you're going to find that breaking news from us. But we find out who the Jagoffs are by writing blogs every day. So what was on the blog this week, John?
So you
took one for the team all week. I had kid things. I'm applying for colleges, okay? So it was a rough week. John took over.
There will be some Jagoffs you find, I'm sure, in that
trust
process.
Me.
But you know, the biggest one, look, the time change thing, I think that's a whole Jagoff thing in itself.
Yeah.
I think it's silliness.
Do you think we shouldn't do it?
I think we shouldn't do it.
Oh, wow.
I think it just messes me up. Plus, I'm tired of changing all my clocks because I have a thing about the microwave clock has to match the oven clock.
Same.
And it just makes me nuts. But on top of that, we on Friday, we did this with Elista. We had a Jagoff. Listen, if you buy a mattress and a box spring, it's about $800, $900, right? Do not put that on the top of your car and try to use your arm to take it home.
It's not going
to
happen.
Pay the $35 and get... Or everybody in Pittsburgh's at least two people removed, no more than two people removed from somebody with a pickup truck. Get a friend. Don't put it on the top of your car.
See how upset he gets?
I get so angry.
He does.
All right.
And then we also had the beer league hockey gone wild, I call
right.
it.
Because, right. Oh my God. Everybody knows beer league hockey is all about beer versus hockey skills.
Yeah.
And some knucklehead out there in New Kensington knocked out a referee because he got called for a holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who does that?
It
happens in the high school games, I'm going
that's
to tell you.
Nuts.
But yeah, that's crazy.
You're
40 then,
years old, for God's
sake. And then in addition, you know, Chick-fil-A saves the world because, let's face it, it does. They had their SHIT figured out day one of the pandemic. Their white tents went out, and you knew Chick-fil-A was on it. You saw their tents, and you were like, they are outside getting our orders.
And we're like, why did they not handle the election?
Yeah,
right.
Right. We're not talking about that at all.
Right.
Doesn't matter if it turns you into a jagoff. We're not talking about it. So here we are at Top Golf. Again, we have a slight history with Top Golf. John and I were kind of working with these guys a few years back. They worked with us even with our Santonio Holmes initiative, which we just completed again this year. And we were so excited that Tracy on our team connected with Kevin, who was like, yeah, bring him in. So before we start talking to Kevin about all great things Top Golf, we have to tell you, Kevin, there are two things that John is mean about, okay? One is driving. He is one of the most calm, cool, collected, down-to-earth guys you will ever meet until he starts driving, because that's what started the blog, is that he's an irritated driver. The second thing, if I talk to any of his friends prior to me, it's golfing. So it has been a joke since before we got here that he's a horrible golfer, and I'm sort of anxious to see how bad it is. Just
well,
FYI.
John, you're among many horrible golfers here at Top Golf. I got to say, we get all kinds here. Top Golf's a game for everyone, and we definitely see that on our tee lines every day.
It makes me, like, it's not like I have to be a scratch golfer. It's just that I need to be able to hit it past the cart or the ladies' tee, and not sideways and not straight up and down. I can't figure it out. And everybody says, you play hockey, so you should be good at golfing.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely different to me.
Yeah.
So the thing is that probably the furthest thing I've ever had go on a golf course for me has been my club when I whale it up the. So I'm one of those people, so I will not do that today. But Topgolf here is awesome in that a lot of my friends say, why don't you just drink a beer when you're golfing, chill out, right? I get so angry, I can't even do that. But talk about what Topgolf is doing to golf these days. Like, this is an awesome place, right?
Sure, sure. Well, you know, Topgolf, sports entertainment venue that has introduced millions of people to the game of golf over the last, you know, 20 years, really. We began the year 2000 over in the UK, came to the US in 2005. We're almost to 60 venues here in the US, five open worldwide, and we're close to opening Dubai here soon. So, you know, our growth and has come from the ability to break down a lot of barriers of the game of golf and the misconceptions about the game to millions and millions of people. We feel like we're one of the big players that are growing the game of golf, and a lot of golf courses or country clubs are dying off these days.
Well, and I was going to say, I don't want to go too far in, but misconceptions like what? So is it, oh, you can only belong to a country club, only those with money can play, that kind of thing?
Sure. I think everybody has their own barriers that they put up, whether, you know, they think it's expensive. They don't have the equipment. They don't have access because, you know, golf courses are out in the country or up in the hills, or you have to be a member of a country club. Here, you know, you just take the highway down and, you know, we're here, just here in Bridgeville, not too far away from the city.
Right.
And off the parkway and easy access to get to us.
And is it, you know, and you're, I think you're, this is what you're touching on too. It's for people, you know, you're always busy. And as we were talking off air, even during COVID, you shut down for a while, you reopened, you're socially distanced, you're paying attention beyond to all of the rules so that you can be open, which is obviously great because people need something to do. But is this for, you know, the person who is really, really good at golf and is just coming because they have to get their fix throughout the year and maybe they can't get out there, as well as, I'm sure, like corporate reasons for people coming together and bonding, right? So there, it runs the gamut of reasoning.
Sure, absolutely. You know, we say Topgolf is everyone's game. So, and we truly mean everyone, you know. The golfer that's here to work on their game, we've got some of our platinum members that come out here and hit 300, 400, 500 golf balls a day. Believe that or not.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Think about that one.
two of them would probably go forward.
And, you know, and then we have people just coming out to have a great time. Some people never touch a golf club before.
Yeah.
We do have great corporate event packages, things for the holidays, and we actually host a lot of birthday parties, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, everything in between. So it's just a great time to get away, get together socially distanced, wearing masks, six people at a time in a bay. Our tees are 12 feet from tee to tee, and we've built dividers in between each bay to allow us to utilize every single bay in the venue with 102 hitting bays. So, you know, we're naturally set up for social distancing, and we were able to get the approval to open up safely. Our protocols and our reopening strategy was one of the most robust that the state of Pennsylvania had seen, you know, all the way up to Levine's office. So we had to work with her office to make sure we were doing everything we can to keep everybody safe and our associates safe to work and also our guests to come in. So
that's awesome.
And let's move away from the golf a little bit, because what they don't see is we're in this beautiful party room banquet room.
Yeah.
I mean, this matches any hotel.
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Oh, yeah,
you said party, and we do like to party here at Topgolf and celebrate things and people. And I want to introduce everybody to our October Associate of the Month.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, Hector!
Hector!
All right.
Listen. Dude,
all right,
so
everybody.
Good. You two did such a good job.
Hector Rivera, let me tell you about. Come on in.
Are we still in the frame?
Come on in here, Hector.
Oh, look at this. So
there you go, Japan.
Hector.
Hector.
Hi,
how are
This is Hector Rivera. He's our event chef. He does a lot of work down in, we call the Heart of House, a lot of behind-the-scenes work. He came back after COVID right away, was one of the first ones to just jump in and say, yes, I'm ready to work. Let's go. I want to make people happy and create moments of matter for our guests. And Hector's done a hell of a job here, and we really appreciate him. And our associates voted him our Associate of the Month for October. So congratulations, Hector.
Go Hector. Come on, go Hector. So just so you know, this is Top Golf High Five. Hector Rivera is recognized as the Associate of the Month for promoting our core values and living the Top Golf way. Hector, this is awesome. It's awesome to me. You're not a Jagoff. See, we do that.
No. This is opposite. I'm going a different direction than the podcast. Sorry.
No, that's perfect. Hector, so how long have you been here?
Since we opened almost 3 years.
Okay.
And it's a pleasure to be working for these guys. It's an excellent place to be with. And I'm so happy to receive this and keep me going to do a better job now.
Well, I love the brisket skillet, whatever that brisket skill is. So please go make 30 more of those and we'll eat them.
That is going to be in our new menu for holidays. It's actually very easy to make and very delicious.
You're supposed to say it's difficult to make. You spend a lot of time making it, Hector.
Mr. Kevin, because, you know, we are proud to present that menu. Mr. Kevin, he was the first one to, you know, accept that because we show it to him, and it's been grateful experience with that brisket. I'm glad that you like it.
Loved it. Yes. Well, Kevin, smart to have you on the team. All right. It's Top Golf High Five. That's awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so glad we were a part of
that. Kevin, that's awesome.
Look at that.
Thank you for the interruption.
We've heard that this is a great place to work. So kudos to you because that's important too. I mean, it's great to be, you know, an elite entertainment area, you know, for people to escape a little bit. We certainly all need that, but to have the people you work with enjoy it as well, you know, that's major kudos.
They do all the work, you know. It's our culture is what drives our brand. Sure. and has in the last 5.5 years I've been with the brand. You know, we've grown. We had 12 venues when we opened, or when I started with the brand. So to grow that much and see our culture grow, and we truly are a family here. And I don't do anything around here, to be honest. It's everybody else, so I surround myself with great people, and that helps me.
And back, so I do want to say this. We talked to Hector. We have had this brisket skillet, which is amazing. It came out smelling. But in the meantime, we're eating some hummus and pitas, which are fantastically done
hummus.
Again as well. I did tell you. I said I ordered you some hummus.
Wow.
So and we're like this again. That it's I was going to say it looks like a hotel in here. But the food is not hotel grade. It's restaurant grade, high-end restaurant grade.
Yeah, you know, we have people like Hector down there that put their heart and soul into the food. And, you know, at home, when grandma puts her heart and soul in the food, it tastes better, right?
Sure.
So, you know, we don't want to put out just a regular menu. We like to impress people when our guests when they come in and surprise them in many different ways. And that's one of them that... Food's the way to everybody's heart, right?
Absolutely.
I just gave away our secret, but
I love
that's one
fact,
of them.
The fact that on a miserable winter day, you can come down here, still get the feeling of being outside, but be covered and still have this sort of like very, very classy surrounding where you come down and just feel comfortable. And if you want to have a beer, you have a beer. If not, you have a soda or whatever.
Yeah, it's great. You know, the climate control bays that we have, the heaters, the ambient heaters, warm the air up, air temperature up about 20 to 30 degrees. No kidding. Some people actually have to turn it down while they're here in the middle of the winter. So we're open year round. It will definitely keep you warm. Well,
that's next week's podcast.
I'm not sure I have a response to that.
You'll be a panelist on next week's podcast. This is awesome. Thank
Kevin,
you so much for having us. We have a bunch of guests that you guys are going to give some golf tips to.
While you're here, tip. That's great. That'd be great. Our associates appreciate it.
So before we ask you the coveted question of the day, where does everybody find Top Golf so that they can find out what events are going on, if they can just come partake in anything online, social media, have at it?
Sure. You know, topgolf.com, and you have to search us under Bridgeville, not Pittsburgh. But that's the best way to see everything that we have going on. Okay. Our social media, just Top Golf. It's a national account, so we don't have a local page.
Okay.
However, we share a lot of things through that, through our emailing system. So if you're a member here, we'll let everybody know of all the things coming up. And, you know, we have holiday season coming around the corner. We'll have some gift card promotion with some free Top Golf attached to that.
Okay.
A lot of great things with our new partnership with Callaway Golf coming up in 2021. So we're really excited about that. And might see some more retail down in the lobby.
Great. They have secrets. Get them out of them. You're the investigator.
Due time.
All right.
Timing's everything, remember? All right. So, here's the question of the day. And this is how horrible we are with golf, okay? Golf game, the golf game number is 4. 4! Get it? Like the number 4, but it's not. It's F-O-R-E. We get it. What is your favorite number and why?
My favorite number?
Like, to me, this is an easy question. I go with 3 for my kids or 7 because it's lucky number 7.
Okay.
Do you have that number?
I would say 9-er.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Just because it's pronounced Niner.
Niner.
I love that.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think great things happen in threes.
Okay.
And, you know, 9's divisible by 3. But
I
once put 9ER on the back of a softball jersey because I thought it was funny, and I just kind of stuck with it. So I don't know. Niner. Let's go with Niner.
Did you ever expect you'd get that? That was awesome.
No, I even put my own, like, answer in to help because I was like, is this dying on us? You know?
That was awesome.
That was perfect.
Well, Kevin Niner, thanks so much.
Thank you so
much. Thanks for having us. And but coming up next, we have Brian Driscoll.
The sun is shining and the birds are singing. It's a picture perfect day in May. Flowers blooming and
we're just reflecting on the food here. So you finally got to taste the hummus.
It's really good.
And hummus. The pitas, the vegetables are so fresh and all that kind of stuff. So
John's like all that kind of stuff. Brisket.
Yeah, I'm all about eating brisket. And brisket. Starts with B, and so does Brian Drusky start with B.
It's not a Rachel segue, but we'll take it.
I know. It's low level. So Brian Drusky, the Brian Drusky. And people know the name Drusky Entertainment, but I don't know that I've ever met the face behind the name. And I know you're going to be probably like Kevin, where you say, you don't know, you have a team of people and that do things for you. But first of all, welcome to the Jagoff Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I can't believe it took this long to have you on.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah,
he's about to say,
like, well, lady.
I can't believe it either.
No, but as we were talking off air, you know, we've had Adam Balin on quite a few times. And, you know, you certainly, that's a testament to the team you have. Because, wow, not only that, but you have become a powerhouse entertainment booking system, right, throughout the years. Talk to us, since we've never interviewed you, talk to us a little bit about what did that legacy start with? Was it your vision to say, hey, I know some good entertainment and I'm going to start that? Or how did the company itself even begin?
Well, before I had Drusky Entertainment, I worked for, which was DeCesar Engler.
Right.
I learned everything through there.
From the best.
Yeah. And, you know, from DeCesar Engler, that went on. They got bought out by SFX, which turned into Clear Channel Entertainment, which now is Live Nation. But in 2005, I just went on my own. You know, I just felt like I wasn't going anywhere in that company, and I said I can do this on my own, and went out on my own.
What was going through your mind when you do that? You're like, oh my god, like, where do I get the money to put the deposit down on my first big act, or put my deposit down on my? Or did you kind of plan for this? So you kind of, bankrolled it a little bit ahead of time.
I kind of winged it.
Okay, I love that.
Typical music industry or performance.
I kind of just got like. Just went with it, and, you know, I mean, I had some money saved up. I mean, it wasn't a ton, but it just kind of snowballed, making the right decisions to get more money into the bank and
cliche question, but have to ask it. You were, you had the ability to be the sponge with two of the best promoters that, ever knew. What was the biggest takeaway? And I'm sure it's a hard question to answer because if you were able to work with them, there's a lot. But what was that, like, years later, you look back and say, I learned that because of them.
Yeah, I mean, just mainly budgeting, you know, making sure you're not spending too much. And but being fair, too. I mean, you don't want to, you know, make people not work for the right amount of money either. But you can't be taken advantage of either. You got to know what you're doing and learn what you're doing to, you know, maximize your profits. And also, be you know, and I learned, you know, just you have to be fair to people, too, because, you know, you can't be a jagoff, if you want to say. There you go. And you don't want to have that reputation. I feel like I have a good reputation in the city, and I try to, you know, and I'm fair, and you know, and I have worked with a lot of people, and you know, try to do that.
And then talk about the people that you worked with a little bit, but I want to also follow it up. You know, give us a short list because we want people to know. But they also, I also want to know what's your craziest story with the people that you've worked with? Like, we listened to, you know, Rachel's dad, Jack, about, you know, this guy needed a briefcase of money, you know, this guy needed this or that. And I'm not talking about the 13
he's also
Eminem.
Much older.
You know, I'm not, you know, the Eminem writers. I'm talking about just kind of the odd arrangements you might have to make, whatever. But the cool, some of the cool people you've worked with and you've booked, comedians, musicians.
Oh, I mean, I like a good example. Dave Chappelle, we had booked Dave Chappelle on 3 days' notice. It was like a, let's just say it was a Monday. I can't remember the exact date, but it was a Monday that they called and wanted to do Dave Chappelle, and they wanted to do the shows on Thursday and Friday of that same week. And we figured out the deal together and put it on sale. I want to say the next day sold out, four shows, and boom. It was just crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, that was right after he was kind of doing that. He was doing the things at his place in Ohio, right, and then just kind of taking his show out and about.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like, I never, you know, you're like, wow, it's not a lot of time to book something. But it was big enough.
Sort of by that same question, first act or performance you booked on your own once you kind of broke away in 05? Do you remember what that was? Thanks, John.
That's cool.
I probably would say it was the Clarks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be? Right?
Yeah, exactly. if I'm not mistaken, I think it was.
You're going to bet your money on the horse to win, right? Yeah.
I think it was, but I'm not 100% sure.
What is the biggest change that you've seen? And we want to, you know, we really want to focus. I told John, we could probably spend an entire episode just talking to you about the behind-the-stage stories, you know, the performers and such. But we really want to touch upon the Save the Stages aspect of this because that's why we wanted you to come on specifically. But talk to us about the biggest change that you saw, even from the DeCesar Engler era to now. Is it the technology? Is it the manner of how music is being even pumped out at this point? What's the biggest change that you've seen locally?
Oh, well, I mean, locally and nationally, I mean, the biggest thing is how people consume their music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, when I was younger, I mean, you know, it was records and cassettes and stuff.
Right.
And then it went into, you know, those fell off. And then it went into CDs. And that, like, now CDs are all getting away from it. You know, it's all digital now and everything. And to that matter, the fact of how you're marketing to people. I mean, the technology goes with how people are, you know, what people are doing. I mean, everyone's on their phone all the time. So, I mean, you're going away from, we still have radio spots that we use and, you know, TV spots for certain things. But, like print is kind of non-existent almost anymore.
Sure.
And so you're pumping a lot more of your marketing dollars into internet marketing because, everything's, you know, everyone always has their phone in their hand all the time.
Well, what's interesting is Brian Thornburg, who is brought one of our guests here today. He walks in and he has sunglasses on, and the music's coming through his sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right?
He has no, you know, it's connected Bluetooth through his iPhone, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Fact is, he's consuming it while he's literally sitting
there. Well,
Bose
used to just be speakers,
right?
And now now I have Bose sunglasses.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So let's go to Save the Stages because I know, clearly you're involved in that. You know, people who have been negatively affected by it, how many people, and what can we be doing? Everybody and their mom is going to the government to get money, and but it's all about carving out your niche out of that money. And making your part heard. So talk about Save the Stages, the initiative, and how it's going and how everybody can help.
Well, for someone who doesn't know, would be crazy, but
yeah. Well, Save Our Stages is an initiative. It's actually a national initiative. Me and Adam run the Pennsylvania initiative of NIVA, which is the National Independent Venues Association. We're kind of head up all the different acts in Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania. Venues and promoters. Sure. When this whole thing started, NIVA started, you know, from just all these independent venues and promoters just being out of work. So we all banded kind of together. And then we took over the PA and Pittsburgh region just to kind of rally people together to get what we need to do, because there are so many people affected by this. I mean, so many independent venues just like that are shuttered. I mean, this is people's life's work, you know what I mean? And like, you know, your dream, you know, your what you're trying to do, you know, like, and we're closed. You know, you can't do anything. And right now it's been almost 9 months that we're closed.
Well, and I think to put it in perspective, right, anyone who's a small business or medium business owner understands that there are things in life. You're taking a risk to do that, right? And there are times economically, politically, that change how well you do.
Correct.
But nobody was ready for a pandemic.
No.
And so you physically were not allowed to go out. So once you're shut down for so long, that pick back up is sometimes impossible. So I just want people to understand the severity of, you know, John and I, we're not boasting, but performances are important to us, right?
Yeah.
So we did little things through the pandemic, like everybody, you know, our lives, so that people would support, you know, hey, Venmo these performers, whatever. But ultimately, it's the venues too, because where do you go at this point when you're literally not allowed? You know, so they need to understand the severity of why that's important.
Yeah, I mean, considering that we do mass gatherings, I mean,
yeah,
we were the first to close and probably one of the last to open.
And I like the word she used is severity. So let's kind of assess that. So what kind of people, we always see, obviously think of the venue owners, the performers, the servers, the tech people. Who else? How many?
Oh, yeah. I mean, stagehands, security. Yeah. I mean, people don't realize that how many people are behind the scenes. Like, I mean, in Pittsburgh alone, there's tens of thousands, probably 10,000, 20,000 people that are affected, workers alone that are affected by this. And people don't realize that they're like, oh, you're just going to a concert. They don't actually think that the only people working or they're going to see the band.
Right.
You know, they don't realize that, like, at a place like the arena or like First Nag or whatever it's called this week.
Right.
But, like, there's literally hundreds of people working.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm saying, even in, a club situation, like, say, like a Jurgles, I mean, you probably have 40 people working, you know, from the bartenders and waitresses and security and stagehands and the bands and, you know, production people and, like, the promoter. I mean, 40 to 50 people at just a venue like that.
Sure. And then it extends to the people who deliver the food, the people who may, you know, create the food.
It's a
to deliver
effect,
it there. I mean, it
sure.
is huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And to that point, speaking of the food, you know, when these venues are closed, it affects the businesses around the area. Like, say you're going to the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead where they don't have food, but those people are going to
there to see a performance.
They're going out to eat.
Yes.
They're going wherever to do that. Because some research we've come up with is for every dollar spent for a ticket, $12 is generated around the community.
Okay.
So, I mean, so it's not just us that are hurting. It's the whole general area.
Right.
So what do we do as Pittsburghers? We're asked to give the different things, but Save Our Stages. We decide that's our path. How could we be helpful? Is it a matter of contacting our local legislators to push this through, or is it a matter of giving $5 or $10?
No, I mean, the main thing is, I mean, any donations will help, you know, because, you know, there's venues that are closing every day. I mean, not just in around America. But, I mean, but you know, hitting your representatives and senators and your community leaders is very important. because, I mean, we're a forgotten industry. People don't think of entertainment as important.
Yep.
You know, it's not education. But then on the flip side, you know, I mean, we're there for people when they need it.
That's
you know,
right.
You know, you need that entertainment. I mean, you not say you need it, but
it's
you
your
need
escape.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's also
you
something
it's
you know that right now when you talk to everybody, they miss it.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I wish I had something to do tonight. And
how
then,
many people have you said, like, seen posts on Facebook? Like, I
like
remember.
When you say you wish you had something to do tonight, that's when you sit down on your computer and write your legislator and say, hey, can you do something about this?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, it's kind of we're forgotten. I mean, we really appreciated Representative Wheatley, who came up with the PA version of Save Our Stages, which is very, you know, I wanted to give a shout out to him because, you know, I mean, he gets it. But like when we're trying, we've been trying in around the area, and like the county kind of shot us down. The city of Pittsburgh shot us down. There's no money for you. But in Pennsylvania alone, there's $1 billion of CARES Act money that hasn't been used. $1 billion.
Wow.
And what are they waiting for?
They're giving it to the podcasters. I know that. So maybe I shouldn't say that live right now.
But think about that. It's not a million. That's a billion.
Yeah.
$1 billion that is not been. I don't know if they're waiting for the election, what they were waiting for, but it's like people need help.
Yeah,
help
so
these
maybe
people.
In 6 months after the election.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's in PA.
Right.
That's $1 billion in PA. That's, think about all the areas around the country that are just holding on to this CARES Act money.
Right.
It's like, why are they doing that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, kudos to you for saying billion, and you did not do the stereotype
billion.
To say billion. I said billion with a B, because nobody
know.
Could nobody
I just
could
did
say
it.
Billion.
I just did it.
Nobody ever says billion without saying billion. He didn't say it. He held
I did it afterwards.
He did it. You're all so good. So, Save Our Stages. Where does everybody find out more? Is it a SaveOurStages.com?
SaveOurStages.com. Yeah, or they can Neva.com, SaveOurStages.com.
Okay.
But, yeah, the local. There's a Change.org petition if people want to go on there and sign that.
Okay.
You know, we got about 7,500. And that'll go right that's supposed to go right to the governor for him to see.
Okay.
You know.
Cool.
All right.
Well, it is a pleasure to meet you.
Such a pleasure.
Thanks.
We need to bring you back regularly so we can see where
are we?
How can we help this? You know, how do we help these local people, too? I mean,
it's
just so important.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I mean, just one more thing I wanted to say here.
Yeah.
As to the point of, you know, not getting any help, I mean, there's cities around the country that are getting help.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like I said, Pittsburgh and Allegheny County has it. But, like, you know, like Austin and Cleveland. Come on. Cleveland is getting help, and Pittsburgh isn't
mad.
Even.
We never want to be second to anything to Cleveland, right?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know. Nashville, all these places. I mean, it's like.
They get it.
And I just want to put out there that, you know, they're forgetting about us. You know, except for Wheatley. We appreciate Wheatley. But, like, our other local governance just are like, we don't care about you. I just kind of wanted to throw that out there.
Now, let me ask you,
guys,
is it better in Philadelphia or is Pennsylvania, is Philadelphia just like Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh. Philadelphia is just like Pittsburgh.
Okay, so there's not even, okay. Wow. So we need local involvement. We need you guys. We're going to, when you're listening to the podcast, you're driving, don't look at your phone, but in the show notes will be a link.
Yeah,
you
and
can
feel free to reach out, because if we can be an advocate in any way, we're serious. Like, we've reached out to Adam. Whatever you have in the works, please tell us because we'll help.
We appreciate that. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We talk about Pittsburgh icons all the time. Like, you know, you think of Edgar Snyder, you think of, you know, different people, and you are one of those. I know, you know, you really
are.
I mean, people know Drusky Entertainment, but I don't think anybody even knows that there's a guy named Brian Drusky behind it. So it's awesome to meet you.
Yeah, I kind of like to fly under the radar.
What's your golf game like? Are you going to try to hit some golf out here?
Are you a John?
Are you an angry golfer?
I've been playing golf, if you want to say playing golf, since 2000, and I still terrible.
Yeah, I'm with you. We'll go play.
My joke is that I shot like an 80 on, but I shot an 80, but I say that's on the front nine.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, so we'll go down and buy T-shirts that say TG for Top Golf, but it really means terrible golf.
Yeah.
So question of the day before we can say where do you find Drusky Entertainment as well, but we said the number 4, which F-O-R-E right here, is a number you hear a lot. What's your favorite number and why?
13.
Reason?
Because it's everyone else's unlucky number.
I love it. I love that.
That's my favorite number.
I know.
Yeah, how about that? That's
Brian,
cool.
Where can we find Drusky Entertainment so that when things are somewhat
it's
coming
just DruskyEntertainment.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. All the different usual places.
Thank you so much for
coming
out.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks. Nice to meet you.
One
more thing. As we're talking about Save Our Stages, one little thing I want to say. It's and I'm advocating for not just like me, myself. It's not about me. Right. It's about everybody else. It's about all the workers that are unemployed right now. And all that PUA is supposed to be running out at the end of the year. So, I mean, there's a lot of people going to be affected by that.
Yeah.
So.
So okay. Hammer the phones, hammer the emails,
yeah.
Representatives, that's awesome.
I'll be waiting lines while he's doing them chores at home. I'll be chasing tail and raising hell. But for him, those days are gone. But the could have been me.
All right, so this is Kevin. Kevin, as we bring in our next guest here, can you please get on the microphone? Have you monitored anybody's golfing out there? What does it look? Is it a sad situation out there? What's happening out there?
Have you seen a lot of the viral videos called golf fails?
Yes.
You know, we do top as Top Golf. We have a stronghold of the market in those videos.
Okay.
in our venues. No. Actually, some pretty good swings out there.
Okay.
Just a little fine tuning, and you know, proves to show our next guest proves to show that you can golf in cowboy boots.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say they help your game. they might hinder a little bit, but we can work with it. We can work with these swings.
Rob is going to sit down here. We just had Kevin in here to talk about his golf game.
Yeah, I heard.
And so Rob can't sit down and go, like, I crushed it or whatever. He can't lie.
No.
We already know.
No, we know.
But
that.
We do know, Rob, you just golfed in cowboy boots. And is this the first time for that, or is this your thing?
It probably isn't the first time, but the first time here.
Okay.
So the first time here in cowboy boots for sure.
Hey, do you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, we were super excited to talk to you because we have mutual friends. From,
absolutely.
You know, Linda Joe and Brian Thorberg from Higher Images have talked about you for a while.
And they're phenomenal.
Oh, they're great people. And we've met a couple of folks who are affiliated with Veterans Place.
Yeah.
And we were talking offline about how much you've seen the growth since you've come on. So talk a little bit about, you know, in all honesty, full disclosure, there's so many nonprofits.
Right.
Like we were saying, everybody wants to help somebody.
Right.
But what is it about Veterans Place that people would say, oh, wow, what is it? Other than
sure.
the podcast comes out on Veterans Day, so
yeah,
it doesn't get better than that.
Other than that we're the best nonprofit in Pittsburgh.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, boom.
But no.
Boom, there you go. And the best golfing nonprofit.
That's right, the best golfing nonprofit in cowboy boots, nonetheless.
Okay.
That's key right
that's
there. That's key, yeah.
That's totally
the Army teaches you how to adapt and overcome. That's all it was. It's just adapting and overcoming. That's right. No, so that's a great question. So Veterans
you
Place.
You son of a gun. Do you know that's a competition?
Boom.
What's that?
That we try to see who can get the most people to say that. And Rachel's now up 1-0, so
it's
just keep
two.
That in your mind.
But go ahead.
That is a good question.
Thank you.
No, but so Veterans Place has been in Pittsburgh since 1996, and not a lot of people really know about us because we're right on Washington Boulevard, and if you're driving up Washington Boulevard, you have no idea we're there because we're the townhouses on the right with all the American flags, 945 Washington Boulevard. All everybody knows is, oh, you're that place across from the car wash.
Okay.
And we're like, yes, we're that phenomenal nonprofit
right, well,
that happens to be on Washington Boulevard. And you should stop and see what we do because we take and we help over 500 veterans a year, you know, combat veteran homelessness throughout Pittsburgh and Allegheny County.
Wow.
And so we do that in a multitude of areas. We do that through street outreach where we actually go out every day to the city of Pittsburgh and Allegheny County. We pick veterans up on the streets and encampments and shelters.
Oh, wow.
We bring them back. They get breakfast, lunch, supportive services, case management. We have on-site laundry facilities that's free to them. We have a shower facility that's free for them to use. We have a storage facility that's free for them to use.
Okay.
And then we also have a food bank where they can come and get food for them and their families. We're actually partnered with the Pittsburgh Greater Community Food Bank.
Okay.
And actually Walmart sponsors our food bank and helps us out.
I have that written in our show notes. I saw that. Is that uncommon for, just to put it in perspective, is that uncommon for most nonprofits who do offer some kind of food supplement for somebody like Walmart to be behind it?
Well, no, I will tell you, Walmart does a phenomenal job helping nonprofits, not only in southwestern Pennsylvania, but across the United States. It's not uncommon to get different sponsoring community partners like that, Giant Eagle, Walmart, things like that, to help out and to provide veterans who may be dealing with food insecurity across the region.
Okay.
Especially in COVID. One of the one of the main things that impacted the veteran population that we served during COVID was food insecurity. As well as we saw on TV, those lines around the block and the cars parked. And so, you know, Veterans Place was one of the only veterans organizations that remained open the entire time during COVID. We never stopped doing street outreach. We never shut our doors. And we have on-site transitional housing. So we have 13 townhouses and 48 apartments right there on site. So our veterans are living there through this. We're still doing outreach. Our staff is still working. Our staff is phenomenal. They worked around the clock. We're 24/7. And I'm proud to report, I don't know if this is wood, but we're going to pretend like it is. But the entirety of this time, we've yet to have a single case of COVID amongst our staff or our veteran population. And we've served hundreds of veterans during the pandemic.
So Rob, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have two questions for you. One's brief. One, this has seriously nothing to do with the competition we just talked about. It's silly. But do you appreciate, does it get old when people say, if I sit down with you and I say, Rob, thank you for your service. Does it get watered down at this point, or do you know?
We've asked that before.
Who's not a veteran, I don't know what to do.
Like, yeah.
I don't want it to ever sound trivial, but I also want to make sure. Tell us a little.
I've heard this conversation through the veterans community, right?
Really? Okay.
There's actually people who say, "Don't thank me for your service," or, "Yeah, you can thank me," all that stuff. I really don't have an opinion on it necessarily. As I say, I think it's the veterans that we serve. A lot of them. More than 60% of them have seen combat.
Okay.
70% of them are dealing with mental health and addiction. They're trying to get back on their feet. They're doing it. So for me, if I can say thank you for your service and it brightens your day and it makes you feel a little bit better about yourself, and also as a nation, I'm standing united and together with you, saying that you represent the best of us, right, that you're willing to put your life on the line. To me, I don't see a problem with that.
Okay.
You know, I, for one, did not go overseas and serve during combat. I was all stateside.
Okay.
Both my brothers were in Afghanistan, Iraq. My brother Chad was hit with a mortar round over there. He's okay. He's okay. He deals with some of the, we'll say, residual effect of that in his life today. But, you know, my family has been serving for generations. Honestly, I feel like the Lieutenant Dan off Forrest Gump, where every generation of my family has served in the military. But it's true, so it's great.
It's great.
So our family, it's just more of a tradition, more of we're happy that we're able to serve, because there's many who wanted to serve who may not have been able to, right?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
So I don't know if that necessarily answers your question.
And I appreciate that. So then my second question is really more of, there are so many veterans nonprofits. And, you know, and some do similar work, but let's talk about yours. Yours has been in existence for quite a while.
Yeah.
And you're literally out there. It's not like you guys are all sitting in these swanky offices somewhere, and you're out there in the streets. So talk about the rawness, the organicness of your organization.
Well, the one thing we do different than any other veterans organization is we are funded by the VA for some of our programs.
Okay.
And nobody else in southwestern Pennsylvania has what we call a veteran service center, which is funded by the VA for us to go out and do street outreach and then bring them back to our service center and basically be a center ground for veteran services in that region. There are other nonprofits that serve veterans, and they do phenomenal work, but each has their own niche, right?
Sure.
We do on-site transitional housing, and we're the only, like, really campus-based where we have – it's kind of like going on to a military base where you go on and you have the PX and you have the housing.
Got it.
And you have the artillery and you have all that.
Okay. Sort of relevant to them.
Exactly.
It's what they know. Yeah.
That's right. And so Veterans Place, you come in our doors on our campus, we have everything you need. You need a shower. You need a hot meal. You need access to a food bank. You need help getting into drug and alcohol treatment. You need help with employment. We have a Department of Labor employment grant, our homeless veteran reintegration program.
Yeah.
You need help with for low-income veterans and their families, female veteran specifics.
Sure.
You need a place to stay for the night. You need transportation. We can do that all that in one spot, very much like a military installation. So I think that's what sets us apart.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. But talk a little bit about the support services. So I'm sure that there is some kind of limit, right? So if you're finding people who need housing, who need food, who need showers,
right?
I'm sure that there becomes a program or a formula. What does that look like? So if you're bringing them in, is it so many days, or do you have someone working with them? What are the next steps?
Yeah, so unlike the military, we don't take a cookie-cutter approach, right?
Sure.
So in the military, when I came in, you're an E-nothing. You're a private. There's a formula for how you are going to be trained and a job you're going to be placed in, right? And they don't deviate from that formula, no matter how hard you try, right? They just don't do it. We take a different holistic approach with our veterans. Every person is unique, and every person's different. My military experience is different from what somebody else is. So I grew up in extreme poverty, so I joined the military to escape that poverty, right? And to make a better life for myself, give myself an opportunity. Other people's stories may be different than that. So I can't use the same approach that I'm using for Rob that I'm going to use for, you know, Veteran X or Veteran Y or, you know. Right. It has to be an individualized approach. So if you come to us, we don't establish necessarily a time limit for you.
Okay.
It's kind of like, here's all the services.
Gotcha.
And what are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? And how are we going to best position ourselves to help you? Because ultimately, it's about what you want.
Right.
Hey, listen, you might want to go buy a house. You might want a one-bedroom apartment. You just might want to get off the street for a couple hours because it's rough out there, right? You might not be ready to stop using. That's okay. We're going to work with you no matter where you're at and make sure that we lay out a framework customized to you to set you up for success.
So is it about if let's say somehow we would want to put you out of business, wouldn't we? You know, because we want to handle veterans better. Is it about
– I would love to be out of business.
How would you be put out of business by – having the intake better and the process of evaluation? Because why is it that we're having this issue? Is the intake process different? The transition from military life to civilian life, is it
right?
You know, how can we help?
Yeah, so I think there's just some fundamental issues that are systemic as a nation that we face. Systemic poverty being one of them, and most people who join the military are usually coming from poverty, things like that. So understanding financial management isn't something that they're taught in the home, right?
Sure.
They're not taught coping skills at a young age. A lot of veterans that we're dealing with are coming from domestic abuse. They're coming from homes filled with addiction, with mental health, untreated mental health at that, right? And so when you come into the military does a great job of picking you up, brushing you off, dressing you in our uniform. This is what you're going to eat. This is when you're going to eat. This is when you're going to go to sleep. This is how you're going to act. This is how you're going to train. And this is how you're going to fight, right? And then when you're done with the military,
it's gone.
Hey, here's some PowerPoints.
Wow.
Here's a couple days of trainings, and good luck to you. Mm-hmm. And then what do we expect as a country that's going to happen for individuals who never were taught that,
sure,
never had that opportunity to learn financial management? I didn't know how to balance a checkbook when I got out of the Army because I knew if I didn't pay my bills – military was going to take my paycheck and pay them for me, right? And then I was going to get hit with an Article 15. So I knew that stuff like that was going to happen. So these things just aren't taught. So at Veterans Place, we're working on how do we work better with the National Guards, the reservists, the active duty. And not just at Veterans Place. This is a statewide effort that's happening, a federal effort. It is being recognized, and systems are being put into place. But let's face it, homelessness didn't happen overnight,
right?
And we're definitely not going to end it overnight.
Yeah.
But we are making a sizable dent in it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. I'll tell you, dude,
this
on
is
top
a great
of
interview.
Being an awesome guest, you have a voice that I think Rachel's going to fire me because you have like a radio voice, and I'm getting nervous. I'm going to lose my job.
You know, like,
somebody should tell my wife that I have a good voice. Let's let her know that.
Okay, so what is there anything that you need to talk about? What's coming up? Do you have events planned? Anything that's going on that we can be helpful?
Yeah, so we're very fortunate. We have a Veteran Palooza coming up on Veterans Day for our veterans.
So the day this comes out, Veteran Palooza.
The day this comes out on Veterans Day, we're having a Veteran Palooza event. Higher Images is helping us with that as usual. They help us with all of our marketing and getting the word out for Veterans Place. They've been great community partners for us. We're having this event. And the veterans get, it's all about them, right? They're going to get gifts. It's very much kind of like a circus theme. They're going to have a whole bunch of stuff, cotton candy,
awesome,
popcorn, gifts, gift bags, opportunity to win prizes. And the highlight of all of this is for 1.5 hour, they get an opportunity to dunk me in a dunk tank.
Oh,
So they get come and test out their arm and see if they can dunk me. And, of course, I'm not going to be silent sitting in that dunk booth.
I love it.
So we'll be going Facebook Live ourselves and setting that up, doing that. So we're really excited about that. Just an opportunity for the community to come together and really, to your point, say thank you to the veterans for what they've done, if they choose to do that, and really help us celebrate our veterans.
I love it.
And also, you know, COVID was very hard for nonprofits. Took an impact. We couldn't do fundraising events. We couldn't do stuff like that.
Sure.
So we're always trying to get support. People can visit our website at www.veteransplaceusa.org.
Okay.
They can check out how to get involved, that they'd like to donate, all
right,
those
and
things
it's monetary,
on there.
Or you would take donations like clothes or food, right?
Yeah, so food right now, clothing, it has to be new and still in packages because of COVID right now.
Right.
And that's a great point, is that we can't really take used clothing right now. We can't really take used items right now.
Sure.
We can only take new and, you know, obviously new food.
Sure.
It can't be pre-prepared food or anything like that. So the best way is, you know, obviously contact us in advance. They can go to Get Involved, Contact Us, Donate page, and there's options they can choose.
Sure.
And the one thing I do want to highlight is we're very proud of this. At Veterans Place, 92 cents of every dollar goes straight towards our veterans.
Wow.
Yeah, he told me that off air.
Unfortunately,
so
they don't give me a bonus or a raise on it.
Yeah.
It all goes straight to our veterans.
Yeah.
We're very proud of that. We work very diligently on that, and we make sure that when we get money, it's going to help our veterans.
I love it.
Not to fatten my pockets, not to make sure we're giving bonuses and all that stuff.
No golf games here.
That's right. It's straight to. And I welcome people to check us out on GuideStar.org to verify our financials. We're very transparent about everything that we do. We're just here to help at the end of the day.
Listen, you've been a great guest.
Yeah.
But
I do
not appreciate your patronage of Rachel and all of Colin. She's been like, great questions, good
listen,
comments.
He said two
I'm tired of
questions
it.
To
I'm tired
saying.
Of it.
So,
yeah. You know, up to Rachel
he's
decided.
A bully. Yeah. Bully Rob. All right, before we let you go, you hear this four around here a lot, right? What's your favorite number and why?
My favorite number and why?
It's a good question, Rach.
Yeah, right off the top of my head.
Don't do it, Rob. Don't suck into that. No.
My favorite number always has to be 23 for Michael Jordan. It just always sticks with me.
That's a good one.
Always sticks with me. Notice I did not say LeBron James. I said Michael Jordan. There's only one GOAT, and that's Michael Jordan.
Yes. Did you watch his special?
Of course I did.
Yeah, right?
Of course I did.
The
MJ
I'll tell you
special.
A story offline on that
Yeah,
one.
There's a good story about the MJ special, which Rachel thought
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah, phenomenal
Michael Jackson.
Special.
She thought it was Michael
Jackson. I thought
Michael
it was
Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
There was a program for Michael Jackson,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, wasn't a very good question there, Rach.
That's
right.
All right, so coming up next, we're going to talk to Alex, our musician.
Thank God it was him, because it could have been me.
Yeah. Alex, how's the golf game going out there? You're
just
another guy that golfed in.
It's a boot session.
We
it's
should have.
Golf
we've come
session.
Up with a theme of golfing and cowboy
we
boots.
We didn't tell Kevin well, that's what we were doing.
I was hitting pretty good this last game I just did.
Yeah.
I was actually doing pretty solid.
Nice.
I was playing my dad over here, and I was showing him the business, really.
I love that.
Oh, your dad's saying he did awful, huh?
We have to connect you, first of all. Brian Drusky from Drusky Entertainment was one of our guests who was in here when you were golfing. And,
okay.
You know, he's always looking for great local entertainment. And we said, man, listening to you coming out, you don't expect that belting, powerful voice.
Oh, thank you. I don't know how powerful it is at 10:30 in the morning. But.
Well,
that.
So and what I love about your story, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, because you were talking about the song, the lyrics were awesome, too. Just
I feel like I knew the song.
Yeah, it was very, very, it's just one of those songs that hooks
you.
Yeah. Thank
right
you. It means a lot. Appreciate that.
You know, as a newbie guest, you know that Rachel does all the research here. So I did a little digging with Tracy and found out that you graduated from high school and literally 3 days later went to Nashville.
Yeah.
So what did that look like? You're a high school senior and everybody's talking about what colleges they're going to attend, what their future plans are. You're like, peace out, Pittsburgh. Go to Nashville.
It's not against Pittsburgh. It's just music, really.
No, for sure.
So, I mean, so when I went down there, I knew I was going down for the summer. I didn't know I was going to stay down there.
Okay.
I was going to go down and just record a little bit and – yeah, and I was actually going to go to Slippery Rock for PT.
Okay.
So I was accepted and had all those plans to come back end of July. And then end of July came, I was like, I called my mom. I was like, I'm not coming back.
Oh, my.
She wasn't too happy with it. And then, yeah, so I just didn't come back. I stayed.
So what was so what was life like in Nashville? Is it what you think? Like you're down there on the corner with, you know, with your guitar
case really.
Open? Tell us about what it was like when you get down there. I mean, you're young. It's not like you're.
Yeah. We love Nashville.
So I'm not going to lie. The first few months were definitely hard because it's very much a bar-oriented place. And when you're 18 and can't get in the bars, it's like.
Good point.
You know, it was lonely at first because I didn't know anybody going down. You know, I didn't know a person. So, yeah. And then it's really just going out and playing. So there's things called writer's rounds.
Yes.
Where, like, writers will go out and just play their songs they write. And then through that, other writers are watching and hanging out. And then you just kind of connect through that. And then you're like, will you write with me? And if they like your music, then you kind of just. Yeah, literally. It's just like that.
That's simple.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a networking thing.
It's all networking.
Yeah.
The whole town's based off networking.
And then I guess in quick time or slow time, do you figure out who the people are that are trying to take advantage and kind of diss you, you know, take advantage of you versus the ones that are genuine? How do you figure that out coming from Pittsburgh going into the Nashville
scene? Well, I think you can just tell by talking to people. I think, you know.
Use your gut.
Yeah, yeah. I think genuine people, like, it shines through. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think that's the big part of it.
I think the Pittsburghers are good at that, right?
I do.
I think genuine. And
funny, because we've talked to a lot of Pittsburghers, and again, full disclosure, John has a very good friend who actually is called Songwriter Girl from Nashville.
Okay.
Well, lives in Nashville now. She wrote Blake Shelton's first hit song.
Okay.
So we've connected, you know, with her, and she's given us some music and things like that. But she talks a lot about these Pittsburgh folks because she's actually from Youngstown.
There's a lot of Pittsburgh people there.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's great to see. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, they even, for a minute, they had a Steeler bar and everything down there.
Oh,
but
wow.
It just got closed down after COVID and stuff, and it wasn't doing real well. It's kind of in a bad part of town, but. Yeah, I mean, there's Pittsburgh people everywhere. It's kind of crazy. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We did a podcast from Piranhas or something like that.
So that was the Pittsburgh bar.
That was it? Yeah,
that was the Pittsburgh bar.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So talk to us about, obviously, the biggest difference between Pittsburgh and Nashville. And then I also think I read correctly that you did co-write a couple of songs. Is that right? Is it something that we would recognize, or is it just part of what came out of these groups?
Well, it's weird because the South has its own music scene. Yeah. Like, so if you're, you know, Alabama and Georgia would know the songs, but not necessarily up here. It's kind of weird because the country scene down there, it's like it hits the Southeast market before it hits up here.
Gotcha.
So probably up here, probably not, but there is an artist that I just found out. He's with Sony, and I just found out we're getting a cut on his first record.
Yeah.
And he just started tours, so we'll see what happens with it.
Good for you. Yeah, that's totally cool.
So, yeah, like the main thing down there is, like, you know, I think I'm a writer first.
Okay.
An artist first. I mean, but like every day I write pretty much with people. So you go in, you wake up in the morning, go into a room with two or three other people, and you just write with artists that are either signed to a label, signed to a publishing company. I don't know if you guys, I know it gets confusing.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, Kirsty and Bill just started a label within a publishing company.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we'll have to connect them.
Like high school is far removed for me, but it's really close for you right now. What were you doing in high school? Were you in chorus? Were you in band? Or none of that even pertained to you at that
point? None of that.
You were just doing your own music.
I was just doing my own. Because, like, I didn't know. I always knew I wanted to do music, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know what I mean? It was just, like, this thing that I'd not do my homework. I'd play guitar, piano, or learn a song or something. You know what I mean? Or try to write a song. And so I didn't really know what I was doing up until when I graduated. I was just like, well, I'm going to figure it out. I guess I got to, you know. But, no, I didn't really, you know, other than bringing a guitar to, like, friends' houses and playing around a fire or something, I wouldn't say I was heavily involved with music school-wise at all. But, yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, no course, no nothing like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And so how did you know early on? Are you self-taught?
So I had guitar lessons for about a year and a half. But other than that, yeah, like piano, I can play quite a few instruments, and that's all self-taught.
Do you have siblings that do this stuff, or are there?
So I have two older brothers that are twins, and they tried, when I did the guitar lessons, they did them with me, but they didn't stick with it.
So. Little sibling rivalry, right?
Yeah, honestly, no, because they were just like, this ain't for me.
You just said you're not good.
Yeah, they're just like, ain't for me, and I was like, well, I love it. So,
are you a lyricist first, or are you a songwriter first? You know, music first.
I'd say, but this kind of happens like at the same time, I guess. Like when we write, I'm normally holding a guitar or a piano, and then kind of play something with melodies, and then find leadership go with it, I guess. So yeah. It kind of just happens at the same time.
What okay. I love about what you said and what I heard and retained was, and we've asked this question, it's funny because we were talking about it on the way here, that when we often talk to local musicians, specifically who have more of a country feel, they sort of say the same things. Well, I write when I can. You have a dedication where you're saying every day I write.
Yeah, so there's writing set. So when you sign with a publishing company, they'll set up rights for you, and you also have, like, it's normally scheduled, like, your first write's normally between 10 and 11, and that goes to about 1 or 2. And then if you're doing a double, then you'll have another write at 2 p.m.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's
That's
normally like 10 and 2.
This
like,
isn't one of those things where you're at a bar drinking beer and eating pizza.
No, it's a
like,
job.
Like, this is, yeah, this is a job.
It's
yeah.
legit.
That's
dedication.
The part where you're taking
yeah.
it seriously.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, yeah,
That's
it's
awesome.
And then at night, you either play a show, go see a buddy play, record, or you know whatnot, and then Thursday to Sunday you go on the road and play.
Wow.
All right, so when people come to Pittsburgh, we take them to the Incline, we take them to Permanti's, whatever. We come to Nashville, top three places you're taking us to, because we are coming to Nashville.
So you have to experience – I don't go to Broadway,
okay.
but that's like the main strip of bars. Yep. You have to experience it once just because that's the tourist area.
Sure.
Not a lot of hometown people are there, but you got to experience that. So I take you to Broadway, and then the Midtown region is like where we always hang out. So
okay.
it's called – like the Mumbrian is like the name of the stretch, and Division Street. And they have all those bars are just songwriters and producers and artists
that's
just
so
hanging
awesome.
Out. So yeah, I take you up there, and then – yeah, honestly, those are probably the two main things.
He's like, I'm only taking you to two because I don't like hanging out with you old people.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, you're not coming.
No. But, and you got to have Hattie B's. That's like the Nashville hot chicken. You got to have Hattie B's.
Oh, okay.
So that's like the spot everyone else has to get.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're back in Pittsburgh. What do you do here? And what reminds you of home? So you come back, and what are you doing here?
Getting Permanis. That's the first thing I said. I got in last night, and I was like, I want to have Permanis today.
All right.
That's funny.
So we're
going
to go get Permanis. That's the main thing. And then if there's a sports game or something, I like to go to the sports games.
Okay.
We went and saw the Pirates last time I was home.
All right. Okay. So you'll check the Steeler game out tomorrow.
I wanted to go to it, but with all the COVID things and stuff, it's not possible.
Well, keep us in mind when you get to be famous and you get to do a terrible towel twirl on the field, you tell us to come with you.
Yeah,
hey,
you
I would love to do that.
So where can everybody find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
So Instagram is Alex Maxwell Music, and then Facebook's, I think, Alex Maxwell Live. And then I have a website called alexmaxwellmusic.com. So.
Great songs. And you did a cover of Dixie Chicks, is that right?
I did, a while back,
Do you like the Dixie Chicks?
I love the Dixie Chicks.
Same. That's one of my faves. I went on and I was like, oh, I think we have something in common here. All right, so you've been around this place for about an hour or so now, and you've heard four a lot of times. What's your favorite number and why?
Five.
Why?
It's just been my lucky number. Since like I have no reason behind it. I just always like the number five.
John, this question went over
your
so well.
Question.
John poo-pooed my question, my QOD.
I didn't poo-poo it.
Mm-mm. No, it was a good one. Alex, I'm so glad that Tracy introduced us to having you on. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks
we can't wait
me.
To hear your song again. And, again, that's the song everybody's going to be hearing throughout the podcast.
Yeah, right. And so now we have to thank everybody. First of all, thanks, Kevin. And, Kevin, what was our server's name today?
Shay.
She was fantastic.
She was fantastic.
Shout out to her and Hector.
Hector, the food we're having today is so good.
Yeah.
And, again, if we could flip the camera around, you wouldn't believe how good –
We're on 20%, so
here.
Less than that.
So thank you to Kevin and Shay and Hector. Thank you to Alex. Thanks to Tracy and Colin for helping us put this together. Thanks to Rob. And
thanks to Brian Drusky and Drusky Entertainment. Please, please, please. Rob and Brian represent two serious situations here that we need to help. So if you can find any way to help out, please do so.
And thanks to Brian and Linda Jo Thornburg who brought us Rob.
The connection,
it was totally cool.
Yep.
And, of course, thanks to Rorick Honda. November knows deals, and no better month to get deals than at Rorick Honda. From fantastic rates to fair financing, Rorick always has the customer in mind, especially during the beginning of holiday shopping.
Plus $2,200 in yearly savings when you count the Rorick Advantage with every car purchase, new or used. Buying a Honda is a must. Visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs.
The sun is shining and the birds are singing. It's a picture-perfect day in May. Flowers blooming and church bells ringing. That bride about to change her last name. It wasn't long ago we were headed down that road. I guess God only knows But I'd have got myself into that. Could have been me to put a ring on a finger. Could have been me with some crazy in-laws. Could have been me getting run through the ringer, trying to chew what I bit off. Could have been me dealing with all that. Yeah, I feel bad for that SOB. But thank God it was him, 'cause it could have been me. My free time, I'll be waiting lines while he's doing them chores at home. I'll be chasing tail and raising hell, but for him those days are gone. But it could have been me to put a ring on a finger. Could have been me with some crazy in-laws. Could have been me getting run through the ringer, trying to chew what I bit off. Could have been me dealing with all that. Yeah, I feel bad for that, it's so big. But thank God it was him, 'cause it could have been me. Yeah. Looks like I dodged a bullet. Had my finger on the trigger, but I didn't pull it, nah. But that could have been me to put a ring on a finger. Could have been me with some crazy in-laws. Could have been me getting run through the ringer, trying to chew what I bit off. Could have been me dealing with all that. Yeah, I feel bad for that, it's so be. Yeah. But thank God it was him, 'cause it could have been me. Yeah, that could have been me.